This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, November 17, 2019, the 22nd Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The Son of Righteousness shall rise for you. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the readings of today, all three of them, but most pointedly, the first and the second, talk about impending judgment upon the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that second coming in judgment. We don't hear about judgment a whole lot, and we should. You do if you're around here more than a couple weeks. But today, I don't want to talk about judgment. I want to talk about those who are saved from that judgment. We are saved from that judgment. We should not even consider that judgment if we are in union with our Lord Jesus Christ. If we truly believe, that we truly prove and manifest that we have been brought out of this world of darkness into the marvelous light of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is manifest in His Roman Catholic Church, we should rejoice over this. It's not some abstract theological proposition. We should indeed understand why we do the things that we do, but we should understand even more so for whom we do them. When we look at our Lord Jesus Christ and see that He is that true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, He speaks of Himself saying, I am that true light. We should always be looking toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in our lives should manifest this. And by manifest, I mean show it. We need to present it to people. Present what we believe and with fervence why we believe it and in whom we believe. This is what we are called to do. The scriptures speak of those ones who are kept from the judgment. It says they will be kept from the judgment if they fear the Lord, if they keep His commandments, and if they serve Him. We need to appreciate how we do these things. And it is manifest first and foremost in when we gather together for the holy sacrifice of the Mass. This, the way we do it, is the truth of our faith. It is interesting in that first reading today that a couple of the earliest church fathers, one of whom gave us the first systematic theology, St. John of Damascus, both of them point to this passage as to the validation of why we do a certain thing in worship. And that certain thing that we do in worship is probably the first and foremost thing when people come to visit this parish, that they come away and they will address, some very critically. One person even had the audacity to come up to me after celebrating Mass and say, I don't think that was a valid Mass. And I said, why would you ever say that? Is it because you have your back to the people? That shows, and I don't mean this pejoratively, I mean by purest definition, rank ignorance. It's ignorance to present it now, because this is not a matter of fashion. It is not a matter of liturgical taste. It is a matter of what God wants. It is a matter of what the Catholic Church has always done. It's interesting for me when I hear things like that, because priests facing the people during the celebration of the Mass is younger than me. Okay? I know spring chicken, all right? I'm not ancient either. And we do serve an ancient church. And for a priest to face the people is an innovation, a younger innovation than I. 1970s, early. How many in here were born then? This is something that we have to understand. You know, and it's not a matter, you don't look at people, what are you, stupid? They don't know any better. They don't know any better. That's why they would present it like that. You have your back to the people. No. That type of worship is called, in Latin, ad orientem, to the east. We face to the east, and this is why these early church fathers pointed to this passage. We face to the east because what happens in the east? The sunrise. And we're taught that for us who fear God's name, who are the righteous, who are going to avoid judgment, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. Where, from whence does he arise? The east. When we gather together for the holy sacrifice of the Mass, why are we here? You know, first and foremost, for the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. Our Lord Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, manifesting himself on the altar. If the scriptures have told us that we looked east for that, before it happens, that consecration, where should we be looking? All of us, to the east. Because it is the sacrifice of the Mass. It is about the representation of the sacrifice of Calvary to our Almighty Father. That is the sacrifice of the Mass. It is not a reenactment of the Lord's Supper. It's not a big community builder. That's not what the Mass is about. And first and foremost, it should be structured accordingly. Accordingly to how traditional people say it. No. According to the traditions of the Catholic Church, capital T, how have things always been done since its inception? Not some groups here, not most, everybody. And this passage about the Son of Righteousness rising with healing in his wings is what a lot of the early church fathers looked at. But that's not, it's not like, oh, you pick that kind of weird verse and it's kind of implicit in that. It's not implicit in Scripture. It's explicit in Scripture that our orientation toward righteousness should always be to the east. Little whirlwind Bible tour. Before we go on the tour, let's listen to what these early church fathers said. Origen. From the east came atonement for you, for from there is the one whose name is the east. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the New Testament, in the Benedictus, that prayer of that exclamation of Zachary, after he is allowed to speak, after he has been mute since he incredulously questioned the angel as to the birth of his son, he says that the Orient from on high has visited us. A messianic title is the one from the east. St. John Damascus, it is not without any reason or by any chance that we worship towards the east. Notice he doesn't say that we should worship toward the east or that most people face toward the east. He says we are not without reason or by chance that we worship. A given, everybody worships facing the east as far as Catholics go. You know, we look toward the Son of Righteousness. And if you haven't read ahead, when it talks about the Son of Righteousness, it's not S-O-N of righteousness, it's S-U-N of righteousness. But that S-U-N of righteousness is the S-O-N of righteousness, the Holy Son of God. This is why the church has always done, because it is what the Holy Spirit mandates. Nothing less than the way he mandates that he be worshipped. But we should have our head in the game as to understand that all good things come from the east. It starts in creation. Creation! Our Lord speaks and all things leap to an existence out of nothing. And he makes land and sea, light and darkness, firmament, birds, fish, us. And after he makes us, creatures who bear his image and likeness, he makes a special place for them because he wants to walk with them. the place where God is, where He is with you, one-on-one, friends, you bear my image, I am with you, we are in union. He makes this garden, this paradise, this Eden. You know, you would think it would suffice for Him to say, and He made for those whom He created in His image this garden of paradise, Eden, and move on. He throws a detail in there. He makes this garden, this Eden, and He places it in the east. Why? Why did He's setting the stage. Union with me and good things that I do for you come from the east. When Adam and Eve are kicked out of the garden for sin, they're expelled from the garden, and our Lord will not have them come back in there because it could be even more detrimental to their souls if they would, in their sinful condition, eat of the tree of life. And it says that our Lord put cherubim with a flaming sword to keep them from coming back into the garden. You think that would suffice, but it doesn't. He says He placed them to the east. From these good things come, and you do not deserve, nor can you partake in good things now. Those good things are in the east, and I'm going to guard it. The psalmist, this is where it gets real explicit. The psalmist in the Vulgate, speaking in Psalm 67 of how we are to worship, he says, sing to God, ye kings of the earth. Sing to God, sing to the east. That's very explicit. The Holy Spirit telling us how we are supposed to orient ourselves during our worship. And when the people of Israel were wandering about the desert, they carried a tabernacle with them. But when they would set down stakes on occasion for an extended period of time, they would set up a tent over the tabernacle, and there was an altar in that tent. It was the altar of propitiation, upon which sacrifices were made for sins and atonement would be made. That propitiatory altar was to be on the east side of that tent. When the tribe of Israel, 12 of them, would stop at any given place, God meticulously ordered how they would camp. And this tribe had to be there, and this tribe had to be there, and this tribe had to be there. The tribe of Judah, from whom our Lord Jesus Christ would come, guess where they had to camp? East. When the wandering days stopped and Solomon built a temple, the gate of the Lord of that temple was facing east. When our Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, He ascended from the Mount of Olives, which is east of Jerusalem. And when He ascended, the angels had correct the apostles for gazing up into heaven. Why do you gaze up into heaven? He's going to come the same way He went up. So if He went up from the east, the angels have told us directly that He is going to come from the east. Our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, of His own mouth, in the Gospel of Luke, He throws out today when His apostles ask Him, what are going to be the signs of your coming? How are we going to know when it's you coming back? And in the Gospel of Luke, He gives all these signs of, you know, cosmic things and heavenly things and, you know, wars and earthquakes and all this kind of stuff. In the Gospel of Matthew, He adds to that list a very profound statement. He says, and as the lightning comes from the east, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. An Eastern orientation is Eucharistic. It is the Eucharist. It is us looking toward both our Lord sacramentally present, But why are we representing him sacramentally present? Because he hasn't come back yet. So he's left us the sacrament, fulfilling his promise that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Where's it going to come from? Both sacramentally and for real. From the East. This is why the church has always, everywhere, for all times, in the Mass, everyone faces East. This is not an opportunity to talk about all the problems with a different orientation. Suffice it to say that it is heterodox. Heterodox. It is a different teaching than what the church has always taught, what she has always presented. And it is so profound because it is changing something that our Lord obviously wants. Because everything that we do, sit, kneel, stand, bowing of the head, striking of the breast, all these things that we do, these exterior presentations, manifestations, everything that we do presents an inward, an interior disposition. We need to be properly disposed to this light, this sun of righteousness that's going to rise for us with healing in its wings, because it's not a one-time deal. Because we sin every day, we don't conform to what our God, what our Lord's will is every day, which generally culminates in sin. Every single day, thought, word, and deed. So when we come back, we receive the Eucharist from the East as healing for what we've done the past week. We are oriented that way because this one who's going to come and judge us as to whether or not we've availed ourselves of that light from the East, he is going to come in judgment from that way, and we should be aware. Does not our Lord Jesus Christ, time and time and time again in the Gospels, teach us to watch? That's all he says, watch. Well, where should I watch? I think it's plainly clear where we're supposed to watch. Plainly clear. Yeah. Well, why didn't he just say, watch from the East? Because that's faith. That is, how much do you know? How much do you appreciate? How much do you delve into what I have said in my word? It's imperative that we face East during the sacrifice of the Mass if we want a proper interior disposition toward this light that is going to come. Come both for our refreshing and going to come in judgment. Yeah. This heterodox reorientation. Pope Benedict XVI, that we've gone from everybody facing eastward in this Eucharistic anticipation of our Lord's presence in our lives, and we've changed it into an enclosed circle of friends in any given building at any given time. It has manifests itself in some of these abominations architecturally that are now Catholic churches. High churches that look like spaceships and flying saucers and monstrous works of modern architecture. They don't look like churches. Okay? What is a church supposed to look like? You know what? It's supposed to be built with the altar facing east. And if you got the resources to build, be built in the shape of a cross, with the look of an ark, these things aren't accidental. They're not taste. They are manifestations of God's truth. And all of a sudden, the truth gets whittled away if you don't do it. It is truly a matter of those who are in darkness and those who are, and I am not saying people who don't are in darkness. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it's not as bright as it could be. It's not as bright as it could be, and that can be problematic. We want to do everything that we can to worship our Lord the way He wants. Well, God, Jesus says we should worship Him in spirit and truth. Not your spirit, not arbitrarily or subjectively, in truth, as in how I have presented my truth. I who am the way, the truth, and the life. I have set down how I want to be worshipped, and you have to do it not only in spirit, a spirit of union with me and how I presented it, but in truth. What is truth? Truth is presenting propositionally and manifestly what we believe. That's why we do what we do. This is not a traditional thing. It is just a Catholic thing. When we look at it that way, again, as I said, we want to do things that make our spiritual lives as bright as humanly possible. And that is really pretty summed up as to whether, you know, the haves and the have-nots, those children of darkness and the children of light. The words of one of the early church fathers, "Therefore, you are invited by this to always look to the east, where the Sun of Righteousness arises for you, where the light is born for you, that you may never walk in darkness." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.